Elsewhere on the program, we'll take up court decisions today involving former President Donald Trump, but we're also watching Trump's rhetoric on the campaign trail. We've mentioned his embrace of the convicted January 6th rioters, saluting or hand over his heart as his rallies open with this.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
That's the so-called J6 Prison Choir, a song recorded in prison. It's called Justice for All. It features Trump saying the pledge while the prisoners sing. But the day after the riot, 3 years ago, Trump said this about them.
To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay.
How did he go from that to calling them patriots and hostages and pledging one of his first acts as president will be to free them? Semaphore politics reporter Shelby Talcott's recent deep dive is called How Donald Trump Learned to Love the January 6th Prisoner Movement. Shelby, welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And so you report that Trump's words the day after the riot were reluctant, written by aides. But you say then that gradually, his embrace was instinctual. Could you just briefly tell us what you mean by that?
Yeah, so this has been, long story short, a sort of years-long effort, both when you're talking about Donald Trump's own personal interest when it comes to January 6th, and outside advocates and groups. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, there was a little-known staffer named Joanna, who Trump eventually tapped to be his official liaison to the January 6th families. And then there were January 6th family members themselves and advocates, lawyers, who all sort of would begin meeting with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago and Bedminster over the years to try to essentially convince him to be more forceful and have more aggressive rhetoric in support of these January 6th rioters.
But he also began to embrace them as he identified with them because of his own legal troubles.
Absolutely. And that's something that some of the January 6th families told me, is that it was clear to them that as Donald Trump's own legal issues piled up, he began to resonate more and more with the, you know, so-called plight of these rioters who had been jailed throughout the years as well.
Well, you mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Georgia congresswoman. Part of a critical turn, in November 2021, she visited the Washington, D.C. jail where many of the accused were being held. Now, look, there's still a vigil every night outside that jail, but she talked about it at that time on Steve Bannon's War Room podcast.
You should be outraged and disgusted that our government has turned into some kind of political weapon that tortures people in jail and wants to re-educate them and make them denounce the president that they love and denounce the country that they love and wants to tear them down and beat them because they sing the national anthem every night at 9 p.m.
And Shelby, again, there's no evidence of anyone being beaten because they're singing or being tortured. But did she approach Trump? What is the nexus there?
Yeah, so I was told by Trump aides that Marjorie Taylor Greene is sort of one of the go-tos on this entire thing. So she has talked to the former president about this. And I think that visit really sort of made him aware in a new way of the advocates' arguments. And from there, it sort of snowballed into a main lawyer for the defendants meeting with Trump's closest aides in the beginning of 2022 and outright asking, when are you guys going to issue pardons? And we saw right around that time Donald Trump start talking about pardoning the prisoners. And then shortly after that, we saw him start meeting with family members and hosting events at Mar-a-Lago and Bedminster.
And it's resonating. Even though more than 1,300 people have been charged with anything from seditious conspiracy to illegally demonstrating in the Capitol building to assaulting officers, Trump supporters now believe the claim that it's unjust. We spoke with a Trump supporter in New Hampshire. This is Leah Waltko. She told us, and she was sincere, she thinks people are being arrested and charged for January 6th crimes by what she called a fascistic justice system.
Even people that weren't even there are being arrested. These knocks in the night 3 years after you were at some political rally that went sideways.
Now, to be clear, I said to her after that comment that there's no evidence that anyone is jailed who wasn't even at the Capitol. As she said, people who weren't even there are being arrested. But it's clear that she has some fear of knocks in the night, being falsely arrested, or just, you know, having been in a rally and being arrested. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because it just goes back to the idea that, you know, Donald Trump has this unique ability to message and to have that message be effective in a way that we haven't seen, even when it comes to things that, you know, might seem very out there to a lot of other people. I think the really big question, though, is at this point, how does it play in a general election where there is still a lot more criticism for January 6th and a lot of harshness when you're thinking about the people who rioted?
Well, I think there's another question. Sure, you know, will the undecideds go for this as much as his base? But isn't there a question, too, about what do you do with millions of Americans who believe that there will be a knock in the night if Donald Trump isn't president, and also with Donald Trump's pledge that he will pardon all of the Jan 6 prisoners, many of whom are violent white supremacists?
That is a good question, and I think it again speaks to this broad shift within the Republican Party, and it is raising a lot of questions both internally and externally about where do we go from here and what does this mean for the country and for the party, you know, in general.
Shelby, thank you so much. Shelby Talcott covers politics for Semaphore. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.